Well, with live cattle exports about to recommence to Indonesia under new, tougher rules, a leading EU animal welfare advisor has criticised Australia's animal export trade, calling it the worst in the world. Peter Stevenson is chief policy advisor to the UK-based group Compassion in Farming. He's played a key role in winning EU bans on veal crates, battery cages and sow stalls, as well as a new status for animals in EU law as sentient beings. He's in Australia this week and joins us in the Breakfast studio now. Peter, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
You've been deeply involved in the animal welfare debate for 20 years or more, and you say Australia's live animal export trade is the worst in the world. Why?
Let me make it clear that Europe too has huge problems. Millions of animals are trucked long distances across Europe every year for slaughter and further fattening. Immense suffering's involved. But if you look at the sheer number of animals exported from Australia, the very long journeys, particularly those to the Middle East, and the inhumane slaughter methods inflicted on Australian animals in the importing countries, yes, I'm afraid it is the world's worst. And when the government here announced recently that the trade to Indonesia can resume, people in Europe just couldn't understand how the Australian government was willing to subject its animals once again to such cruel treatment.
But if it resumes with tougher rules and conditions, which is what the government is promising and ensuring with the auditing process to ensure the humane killing of cattle in Indonesia, does that not improve things? I mean, why is that so surprising then?
In one short month, it is impossible that anything has really improved in Indonesia. To really improve things would take months and years of work. And it's not just Indonesia. For 20 years now, there have been regular reports about the inhumane way Australian animals are being treated in the Middle East. We've seen them kicked and beaten and thrown and dragged, and then they're slaughtered without stunning. You know, it means the throat is cut while the animal is fully conscious and it's left to bleed to death. So this is not just an Indonesian problem. And I would urge, respectfully, the Australian government to rethink its decision not to let the trade to Indonesia resume and to bring the live export trade as a whole to an end.
Of course, many people, and I'm not sure about your position, but I'm guessing it, oppose live animal exports per se as inhumane. Is it possible, if you're looking at animal welfare, to then think that live animal exports is okay?
No, it's not. Particularly, it's not just about the inhumane slaughter. It's the sheer length of the journeys during which the suffering of Australian animals has been well documented for 20 years. I think what the government now needs to do is plan for an economically viable future without live exports. Now, that means...
Well, that means not meat exports to a country like Indonesia, though, who demand halal, who don't... Many people don't have refrigerators, can't have fresh meat.
But Australia's meat exports are already worth six times as much as its live export trade. So if one talks about expanding meat exports, you're not starting from a zero basis. You're talking about developing an already thriving meat export trade.
Is the question for people who are concerned about animal welfare per se, about whether we should be looking at the domestic trade and banning live exports, or whether we should be looking generally at the number of animals we kill for our own well-being, that we think we can get a hamburger for $2.50 and that's perfectly fine?
Yes, you're quite right. Live exports is not the only problem. And indeed, the reason I've been invited to Australia by the organisation Voiceless is to give their annual animal law lecture series starting tonight at the University of Sydney. And what I've been concentrating on is the way that the European Union has, through legislation, begun to ban factory farming. Its ban on the barren battery cages for egg-laying hens comes into force in January 2012. Its ban on sow stalls in 2013. Sow stalls are these very, very narrow stalls in which the sow cannot even turn round. She's kept like this throughout her pregnancy, for pregnancy after pregnancy, for most of her adult life. That said, although Europe has made a good start, we still have massive problems. For example, the chickens reared for meat in Europe, and I'm sure here in Australia, are factory farmed. They're kept in huge, overcrowded sheds. They're so overcrowded that you can barely see the floor. It's just a sea of chickens. And I've talked about the improvement for the sows, but if you look at their piglets, the animals then reared to provide pork and bacon. In Europe, In Australia, they're ruthlessly factory farmed in barren, overcrowded conditions.
It's 3 minutes to eight on breakfast. Our guest this morning is Peter Stevenson from the British-based group Compassion in Farming. Peter, the EU bans you're talking about there to small battery cages for chickens next year, sow stalls the following year. What's driven these changes? How difficult was it to get agreement? And what was the key way through? Was it the economics?
No, it was partly that the European public has for many years now been made aware of the cruelty of factory farming and is kind of rebelling against it. It's also because it's very much based on the science. So the European Commission has a kind of expert scientific body that looks at all the scientific kind of papers and literature, and its reports have regularly criticised factory farming. So the law has the authority of being firmly based on the science. When it comes to the economics, this has been a problem. There's often a feeling that factory farming has given us cheap food and that it would
It is. I mean, battery eggs are much cheaper than free-range eggs.
Yes, that's because supermarkets worldwide charge probably too much for free-range eggs. If you look at the industry's own data, a free-range egg costs just 2 pence more to produce than a battery egg. That's about 3 Australian cents. If you keep sows in groups rather than stalls, it adds about 2 euro cents to the cost of producing a kilo of pork. Again, about 3 Australian cents. Indeed, sometimes better welfare can be economically beneficial because higher welfare animals are healthier, you'll tend to get lower veterinary bills, reduced mortality and better productivity.
If those sums are right, you'd be expecting industry on a broad basis to be accepting that argument, given public sentiment, and moving that way. Is that happening?
It's happening in Europe. Not fast enough, but the change is happening. The other big thing that's beginning to happen in Europe is an awareness of the wider ramifications of factory farming. Because for years people said, well, yes, it's cruel, but we need it to feed the growing world population. That's simply not true. Factory farming is dependent on feeding huge quantities of cereals to animals. The research shows that animals have to be given several kilos of cereal to produce 1 kilo of edible meat. It's a wasteful use of the crops and of the scarce land, water and energy used to produce those crops.
Peter Stevenson, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast. Peter Stevenson, he's here in the country at the moment for the Voiceless 2011 Animal Law Lecture Series on tonight at the Sydney University Law School. And Peter is the Chief Policy Advisor to the British-based group Compassion in Farming.